Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Sego
Buju Anin
Danach at Anzenu Shook with Un
Tante
Ay, Inuhadikay.
This is Words and Culture, a series on Indigenous languages, funded by SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Tanse, and welcome to Words and Culture. I'm your Cree host, Michael Hutchinson. Today we're off to my people's home area, Missipawistic, or Grand Rapids, Manitoba, as it's known in English. Missipawistic is two words put together that mean big rapids. Missi, meaning big, and Pawistic, meaning rapids. I'm going to take you to visit my auntie Stella Neff, who is a language keeper and a knowledge keeper, and is an elder in my community and beyond. She's going to bake us some bannock with her chapan, her great-grandchild, and explain to us about the meaning of that Cree word, chapan. Stella is my second cousin, but in Cree culture, where extended family means a lot, she is my auntie. Before we set out for Missipawistic, Words and Culture producer Kim Wheeler and I headed out for some provisions.
What were you instructed to pick up, Michael?
I was instructed to pick up baking supplies for bannock, so flour and raisins and I guess baking powder?
Baking powder, yes. Okay, I heard that baking powder is a really important ingredient and people have They're specific about their baking powder.
Are they? I'm not certain if my auntie's that way, because she wasn't very specific about the flour, because back in the old days, my grandma would only use Robin Hood flour.
Raisins.
Thompson raisins. We're going to Grand Rapids, which is on the way to Thompson, so Thompson raisins sounds like a good plan.
Okay, controversial putting raisins in bannock, I'm sure.
Yes, well, it's almost like pineapple and pizza, but we're going to go for it.
Okay, and we're headed off to
Grand Rapids, Missipawistic in Cree. Before we get into my Auntie Stella's home, I just want to give the listeners a trigger warning. We do talk about the traumas of residential school.
Dancy.
Kinamaga.
I was just mopping up my floor.
Hello. This is Kim.
Hi,
hi,
Kim.
This is my Auntie Stella.
Hi.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Good. Here.
It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you.
I got your flour and raisins.
Good.
How are you doing?
Oh, it smells so good in here already.
Oh, I had old bananas I have to use up this morning. Actually, they've been on the counter since Tuesday.
So they were kind of black?
They were kind of getting black. Right. And then Tuesday I got, rabbits. So I had to skin those, and then I got chickens the day after, and then I got goose yesterday, so banana bread was last on the list.
Well, that sounds great. Goose, rabbit, and chickens.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then Kevin dropped off sturgeon, which was the best.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kevin's my brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Just sit down. Let's talk about it.
On this brisk winter's day, my Auntie Stella has one of her great-granddaughters with her, Jetta. She's almost a teenager, and they are making bannock together. Well, Jetta is making bannock, and Auntie Stella is supervising.
Go wash your hands first. Yes, he's been making bannock every day. And after the first day, I said, "Boy, you're good." I said, I didn't help her in any way. And she said, "Well, remember, Coco, I won first prize 2 years ago when I was 9 years old at our Christmas party. Okay. We usually have a bannock bake-off with the kids."
Oh.
And she won. I said, "I forgot about that."
So you won a bannock making contest, I heard. Tell me about that.
There was a Christmas party. Part of our family. All of us went there. Before we had like the party, we had a bannock bake-off thing. And that was the first time I ever made bannock on my own, because I with my mom and mama. And that wasn't the first time ever I made bannock by myself. And I won first place.
Against your cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Jetta is learning Cree in school, and I asked her, what are some of the things that she's learning to say in Cree?
Animals and some words, and we're learning how to write in syllabics.
Oh, okay.
So she's your chapan. Can you tell us a little bit about the word chapan?
It actually means you know, when you say chapan, it means yotapian, which means I'm pulling. Like when you're pulling somebody in a sled, yotapian anima, that's what you call yotapian. Well, that's what chapan, that's where the word comes from. So I'm pulling the past for her. And her, she's a chapan, so she pulls that into the future. That's what chapan means, yotapian, yotapian. Put some flour on it, a little bit for you. That's where the word chapan comes from. Yeah. It's the word otapian, that I'm pulling the past for her. And she pulls it into the future. It's the same word. She calls me chapan and I call her chapan. And it doesn't... It's in between, like you have your mom and dad, and then the Musum Nukum, and then the Nukum, the Musum, and then the Chapan, and then over here is Nitanis, Negusis, and the Chapan. So the seven words are on either side, the Chapan. The old lady is a Chapan, and the youngest one is a Chapan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have the rest for a couple
of minutes? Yeah. We need more flour on there, yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how did you learn Cree?
Well, in Grand Rapids, 70 years ago, everybody spoke Cree. There's no such thing. The only English-speaking people here were the teachers, maybe the store, not even the store manager, because Mrs. Campbell spoke Cree. The only other one was the priest or the minister, the Anglican minister and the priest, those are the only ones that spoke English. So everybody spoke Cree. Everybody. It's this Manitoba Hydro coming into town with 2,000 people and making a bigger school. It's in my generation we've lost the language, because we were strapped when we got to school. Like, I was strapped every day just because I spoke Cree. Because when you only know a language, that's all you use, you don't know that these people are not talking your language. And I got strapped every day. And then I'm the oldest, so my parents said, don't speak Cree to your brothers and sisters anymore, because we don't want them hit when they get to school. So that's how we started. The little English we learned, we spoke all the younger ones. And then so it's right in the middle there, like Herbie, Cameron, Ellen, Richard, Ronnie. they all spoke Cree, and all the rest they speak, they didn't learn Cree because of that. Just because of that, they didn't. My parents didn't want them hit when they got to school, so. And then they get mad at us, like Michael and Donald and Dunstan and Joanne, and get mad at us because, why did you listen? Why did you listen and speak to us Cree? I said, we wanted to protect you too, so you don't get hit when you get to school. So that's what happened. They didn't learn the language. But I would say Michael now is in the PAW, so he's learning language because he drives bus for the elderly at the McGilver Care Home. So he's learning Cree, and then Joanne was learning Cree because she's working as a nurse. So it's just my generation, we lost it because of that, because of the policies of the government to kill the language in the child. It was happened down there. It's not just a residential school. It happened here in the school because we were strapped. And we didn't learn the language. I mean, we didn't speak the language anymore because of those 200 kids that started school and they're speaking English and dressing in white people's clothes, and they used to make fun of us that they're dressed, smelled smoky. Well, of course we smelled smoky. We had wood stoves. Yeah, it was destructive force, that hydro. This was the last house. Over there was the other house. All of this was bush. There was no highway because we didn't have vehicles. We didn't have vehicles in my lifetime. We had no noisy vehicles like cars or trucks or anything. We had, the river was our highway. And they had the boats, and then the dog teams is what we used. My dad had, everybody had dog teams. And so we didn't really need these big roads, big highways, because we didn't have vehicles. It's only when Manitoba Hydro built this Highway 6 is only made in 1960. 1960s, I guess, they started building Highway 6, and they only built it as far as here. The one to Thompson was built later on in 1970, I think. Because people were in the way over there with Manitoba Hydro, they moved them over here. They expropriated the land from... Remember, they used to live by the Anglican Church? No, the Catholic Church. Oh, hell. Mecordies, both Mecordies. These are Mecordies. That's Mecordies. Mecordies, and they lived by the church. Well, they took them away from there because they built the forestry there. So they moved them over here. They made them move over here. They put them there, and then they got so upset because they bulldozed their houses. They were beautiful log buildings. And they just bulldozed them down because they wanted them to move over here because they were in the way. They were in the way for their construction. A lot of people, they did that to a lot of people. Like where the bridge is, they had a house across there. Norman Chief lived across there. On this side, the Prantos lived there. And then the Prantos were probably Métis. But then they just expropriated that land. They just told them to move, and then they didn't want to move anywhere else, and they moved to Winnipeg, and there was a family of five boys. And within a few years, all five had been killed in Winnipeg, and violently, those ones, Walter and Wilfred and John and Harry. There was five boys. They were all killed violently in Winnipeg because they were forced to leave Grand Rapids. And get so upset because there was no consideration for them, that they, well, maybe you do want to live over here. No, it's just so you live over here, and that was it. And they didn't want to live here.
Can you tell us a little bit about the rapids, you know, and a lot, you know, that the ancestors what the people used to say about the rapids before, and then what happened when they went silent?
Well, like I said, the river was our highway, and in the summer, that's how we traveled. There was actually a tramway there, the original tramway from the 1800s, and you could go up there to the top of the rapids, because the rapids is built like this, and then we're here, and then we'd walk up there, and then my dad would take the boat up, and then we'd meet him over there and go further up into the river system, because it's not just Grand Rapids. There was five rapids between here and Chemowawin, which is Easterville. The original home of Easterville is Chemowawin. And we traveled up there, and that's where the hunting was done, that's where the berry picking was done, and that's where all the other life was done, hunting for trapping and fishing was this way, because the lake was too big and too dangerous for us when we didn't have any big boats. We just had little boats. We didn't have great big, like over there, that big yawl. And that's where we traveled. And it was when they closed that dam, we lost all that way of life. We lost where my dad used to hunt rabbit, and moose, and we lost all the things we used to pick berries or medicine or whatever they did before, because it was all flooded. And that's the boreal forest that was flooded. If you look this way now, it's all muskeg. There are so many I miss from that lifestyle, because we used to have, when I came back home, like I've been home 23 years now, I missed so many birds. I missed so many animals, like porcupine. Well, I haven't seen a porcupine in 50 years because the boreal forest is gone, because that's where they live. They like eating the aspen and the leaf trees. And
as we sit and visit on this Saturday afternoon, Jetta continues to make bannock. She comes in and out of the kitchen, so I asked her if she could count to 10 for me. She did, with a little help from her chapan.
Piak. So repeat after me.
Piak.
Niso.
Niso.
Nisto.
Nisto.
Neo.
Neo.
Nianan.
Niana.
Negutosik.
Negutosik.
Tepegup.
Tepegup.
Enaneo.
Kenaneo.
That's mitatat.
Mitatat,
yeah.
Matata?
Yeah. That's 10.
When Jetta leaves the kitchen to return to watching TV, it doesn't take Auntie Stella long to turn back to the history of Missipuistic.
In my lifetime, I've seen the destruction of this culture, because in my lifetime, from birth to death, we looked after each other. We had midwives run over to the Paw and run off to Winnipeg or run off to Ashburn to have babies. We had midwives.
Well, you kind of talked about the land and the changes here. Like, you know, when I asked my mom, why didn't you teach me Cree?
Yeah.
She said, if you had a bush accent, you'd never be able to get a job.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are your thoughts on that?
That's exactly it. It's exactly it, the way that we were treated if you spoke Cree. It's the whole system, like even being in school, being hit in school because you talk Cree. They didn't want anybody to speak Cree. And now they want everybody to speak Cree. And there's pathetic teachers, people that don't know the language, how to teach Cree. I said, it's so late. Because when I sit and talk to people, a lot of the times they don't understand anymore. They don't understand the language. They don't understand those deeper words, the deeper meaning that explain our culture. It's really sad that we've lost our language so much. When you think of even names of birds, when I think of my godfather in Easterville, Arthur Ballantyne. I visited him. His birthday was in April, and I visited him, and he say, "Asay na watagupano, asay na watagupano, what's tagupano?" And he name all these birds, the ones that have already arrived, the ones that he's been waiting for, and he named them all the little birds that would come in the spring. Eh? And I'm sitting there listening. Oh, I haven't heard that. I should write that down. And But I didn't want to have paper to write it down. I'll remember when I get to the car. I get to the car, I forget. I'm so sorry I didn't go back and ask him, because we named everything. We didn't use crow or magpie or all these words that we use now, because we named absolutely everything in this world. We didn't need English to rely on. And we do that so much. We rely so much on English for people. They use, when they're talking, they say skulik at the school instead nikarim instead of tapanask. They say giskinomatwigamig for school, they say skulik. They use so much English size.
So it's bastardized words, yeah, that kind of add a little, yeah, bit of Cree just to the,
yeah,
end of it.
Yeah, just to put the beginning at the end, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, there's, like, people are learning Cree, but it's sort of a surface Cree.
Cree is not the deep Cree. When they started university, I was so excited, because I admire deep thinkers, I admire intelligence, and when I was in university, I just loved things like psychology, philosophy, sociology, because it goes into the deeper, and then mythology. And then when they started talking about university, I thought, University College of the North, oh my goodness, it'll be so exciting, because they'll teach these courses, they'll teach about our stories that we have. And I said, and we could write them down and record them, because in there is what we really believe about the world.
As our visit comes to a close, Jetta comes back to check in on the Bannock.
What, is it ready? Is it?
It looks a little white still.
What, turn that light off? Wastepita, I should say. I'll check it.
How do you say it's done?
I see.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yep, it does. You turn it off. Okay. Looks good. Flip it over so it won't get wet. Amazing.
Nice and golden.
Yeah, it's nice and golden, yeah.
So how do you feel about her learning Cree in school now then?
Well, it's better than... I'm disappointed. Like, they've been teaching 7 years while they're still just doing animals and verbs. We should be learning things like some of the words that are more meaningful. Because it's so basic still, like Minugisiga, well, of course, nice day, and Wataksikikigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigigig I get really disappointed in how little is being taught in Cree, because our speakers are dying. That's the sad thing.
I wanted to know more about this idea of a deeper Cree, so I asked Auntie Stella to teach me some.
The one thing we were always taught about is Ushchine.
Ushchine.
Ushchine. It's a result of something that have done that is not right, and it's sort of like punishment for not doing right. Like if you torture animals, surely you will also sometimes suffer, someday suffer because of it.
Ushchine.
Ushchine, yeah.
It almost sounds a little bit like karma.
It is. But I don't know the full meaning of what karma is, because it's...
From a different culture.
Yeah, it's a different culture. But it's very, very... it was taught a lot to us not to do things that will cause us to have Ushchine. And that's one thing that We don't teach our children.
I remember hearing a story when I was young about a girl who teased another girl.
Yeah.
And then that first girl's baby was born with the blemish that she teased that other girl about.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Jenny. Yeah.
So what you put out in the universe will come back to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other one that I really believe in and I really think is being lost when you say is Amatiso. Amatiso.
Amatiso.
Yeah. It's when you receive a sign to be wary because something is going to happen to you.
Now, there's not really a word for goodbye in Cree, but we use ekose. As we head off on our five-hour drive back to Winnipeg, my Auntie Stella has given me a lot to think about. I turn the car onto Highway 6 and listen to another Missipawistic citizen, Matthew Cook Contois. He's a master fiddle player as well as a singer-songwriter. This is his band Eagle Ex Machina and Verbal Thoroughfare. We'll see you next time on Words and Culture. Be well, stay smiling.
Stars never show nobody how. Since reaching out, a dream.